Hello everyone, and a sincere warm welcome from us all at the Worcester Talking News in conjunction with Worcester News and the Equipment Services for the Visually Impaired. Today we are bringing you news from Friday the 15th of March to today, Thursday the 21st of March. Our team today are Sue Perry, Peter Carter, Lynn Seymour and myself, Kate Hudman. Our engineer is Barry Hurd. All the very essential administration and copying to ensure you receive your newspaper is done by Carol Hartle and her very hard-working team, to whom we extend our grateful thanks. We warmly welcome any new listeners and remind you that you can contact us by telephone on 01905 767766 or by putting a note in your returning wallet. The service is entirely free and also includes a regular magazine once a month. And access to our Talking Books library is also free on request. We love to hear from you and we'll always respond to whenever you phone or contact us, whether it's good or bad. We always try and help out whenever we can. We can't always be here to answer your phone calls, but we do listen in to all your messages. Please don't forget to give us your birthday and we can then include you in our birthday book greetings. We will now bring you the week's headline stories and other assorted interesting stories as well from the papers, local entertainment, sports stories, obituaries and the thought for the week, followed by useful telephone numbers. I would like to say a huge thank you to Barbara Robrey, who's very kindly sent us a donation, which does help us to keep going and function and able to send out the memory sticks to you at the right time and so on. So many thanks, Mrs. Robrey. Very, very kind of you indeed. Right, I'm going to ask Peter now to read the birthdays for this week.
Good evening. On the 25th of March, it's Dennis Walker's birthday. And on the 27th, Janet Mitra. On the 28th, Barbara Robrey. On the 1st of April, Eileen Jones and Terence Lampitt. On the 5th of April, Derek Nicklin. 6th is David Perksett. And the 6th again, Jenny Barson. On the 4th of April, Kate Hudman. Sorry, on the 9th of April, Kate Hudman. On the 12th, James Bowden. And on the 13th, Hazel Jouts. Happy birthday to all of you.
Thanks very much. Yes, very happy birthday to you. I noticed Mrs. Robrey's there, so happy birthday to you and the thanks again. Right, now we will start with the headline news for the week. And I think Peter's going to start with Fridays from last week, please.
Okay. Well, there was chaos on the roads, as you know. Gridlock after a lorry blaze closed the M5 and Deansway shut as well. A lorry fire closed part of the M5 as traffic chaos hit Worcester. Smoke billowed across the M5 in Worcester yesterday morning after a lorry carrying milk powder caught fire. Meanwhile, Deansway in the heart of Worcester was unexpectedly closed, an unauthorised closure of Deansway during the rush hour by Severn Trent was put to a stop, but not before there was gridlock. A spokesman for Worcestershire County Council said at about 10 a.m, Deansway is now back open after an unauthorised closure initiated by Severn Trent Water. The matter escalated. Meanwhile, a large emergency service presence was on the M5 northbound between Junction 8 for the M50 and Junction 7 for Worcester South. The front part of a lorry was engulfed in flames while smoke spread across both carriageways. Fire crews were seen tackling with hose reel jets. A spokesperson for the National Highway said lanes 2 and 3 are now open on the M5 northbound. Lane 1 remains closed past the scene. Hereford and Worcester Fire and Rescue Service are being helped by Gloucestershire Fire at the scene. Delays of 60 minutes and about 4 miles of congestion was on the approach. Pictures published by National Highways showed the extent of the damage to the lorry with its carriage burnt through. Drivers were urged to avoid the area following the incident. A spokesperson for Hereford and Worcester Fire Service said 3 crews, one each from Worcester, Pershore and Ross-on-Wye station, plus water carrier from Evesham and Gloucestershire Fire and Rescue Service crew from Tewkesbury were called at 6:33 on March the 14th to a large vehicle fire on the M5. The fire was in the cab area and the trailer of a lorry carrying milk powder, and this is being fought using a hose reel jet. A complete closure of the northbound carriageway is in place, with smoke affecting the southbound carriageway as well. Police are also in attendance. All lanes on the M5 reopened about 4 p.m.
And this is another headline from Sunday, March the 16th. A fatal crash, driver arrested. A man has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving after three people were killed in a horror crash. Police arrested the 33-year-old on Thursday following the tragic collision on the A44 Spetchley Road in Worcester last month. The man was also arrested on suspicion of causing death by uninsured, suspicion of causing serious injury by dangerous driving, and on suspicion of aggravated vehicle taking. The crash happened around 3 p.m. when a grey BMW 3 Series collided with a white Ford Mondeo. Claire Adkins, aged 39, and Courtney Hemming, aged 26, both from Worcester, died at the scene when the white Ford Mondeo, which they were travelling in, was in a collision with a grey BMW. 6-year-old Leo Painter also died in the Mondeo and was rushed to hospital, but didn't make it, sadly.
Monday, March the 18th. £450,000 worth of drugs and weapons seized as dealers weeded out of business. Drug dealers plying their trade in Worcestershire have been forced out of business as police seized deadly weapons and took nearly £500,000 worth of drugs off the streets. Doors were smashed in and cars stopped last week as West Mercia police took part in the National County Lines Intensification Week as officers carried out 49 arrests. Officers also carried out 100 cuckooing visits, with 27 people safeguarded from criminals exploiting them. More than £450,000 of drugs, 3 vehicles, 31 weapons, including a pistol and samurai swords, 44 phones, and more than £3,400 in criminal cash was seized. 2 county lines operations were shut down. In Worcestershire alone, over £200,000 of drugs were seized, including more than 1 kilogram of cocaine, as well as quantities of cannabis, heroin and crack. Across Worcestershire, 27 drug-related arrests were carried out. 3 simultaneous drug warrants were executed by officers from Worcester Police Station, supported by colleagues from West Midlands Police in Birmingham, as part of an investigation into a drug line moving drugs from Birmingham into Evesham. 3 suspects were arrested. The drug line phone was recovered and an ounce of crack cocaine was seized. A firearm with 3 rounds of ammunition and a knife were also seized. All 3 men have now been bailed. 72 schools, community groups and sports clubs were also visited to raise awareness of county lines and how to spot the signs someone may be involved. Vulnerable adults, such as those dependent on drugs, are also targeted with county line drug dealers, with the drug leaders often taking over their home, a practice known as cuckooing. Detective Chief Inspector Ian Wall said, "We will work tirelessly to make sure our communities are unwelcoming for criminals travelling across our policing borders. We will continue to prioritise the pursuit and prosecution of those who bring drugs into our counties, commit violence and exploit vulnerable members of our communities. County lines will never have a place in the counties covered by West Mercia Police. Anyone thinking about becoming involved in drug dealing, let these results be a stark warning. We will find you and bring you to justice." Police and Crime Commissioner John Campion said, I will continue to invest in West Mercia Police with the resources and tools it needs to continue to succeed in its operations and bring criminals to justice. Anyone with suspicions that a property is being used to sell drugs or that a young and vulnerable individual may be getting involved with County Line's drug dealing can report this via our website here, or information can be given anonymously to Crime Stoppers on 08800 555 111.
And the headline on Tuesday, March the 19th, we feel like prisoners in our homes, residents trapped by broken lift. Elderly resident Cynthia Ash feels like a prisoner in her own home and has not left her flat since Christmas because of a broken lift, and now she has learned it won't be fixed for another year. The communal lift at the block of flats for retired people in Brookthorpe Close in Warnden has never worked properly, according to the residents, sometimes breaking down with them stuck inside. On several occasions, firefighters have had to come out and free them. However, they understood the lift, which suffered another major breakdown in June last year, would be replaced in April of this year. Councillor Jill Desiree said she was given assurances by landlord Platform Housing that the lift would be replaced next month after multiple attempts to repair it had failed. Instead, they have learned from Councillor Desiree that the lift will not be replaced until next March, although she has asked why they had to find out from her and not Platform. Cynthia Ash, aged in her 70s, uses a mobility aid to get about and said she has not left her upstairs flat since Christmas and struggles to use the stair lifts. Mrs. Ash, who has lived at Brookthorpe Close for 15 years, said, "I can't get out. Christmas is the last time I saw anybody. I feel like I'm a prisoner, really. We've been waiting and waiting for them to fix this lift, but they're still putting our rent up and we're prisoners in here." Rob Wilding, 65, who has been stuck in the lift three times, said, "Last time I was in there for 8 minutes. The fire brigade had to come and get me out. I would not go back in the lift again until they get a brand new one." Mr. Wilding said the stair lift got in the way when people tried to carry shopping up the stairs. "The delay is disgusting, really, but it didn't really surprise me," he said. Councillor Jill Desiree hand-delivered letters about the delay in fixing the lift. She wrote to residents, "I don't know if any of you have been advised differently, but I was shocked and disappointed at the response I received yesterday. The latest plan is that the lift will not now be replaced until March 2025. I know that many of you rely on this lift, which is so frequently out of action, and that many of you are unable to use the stair lift. So I believe that it is totally unacceptable to leave it in this situation." One man who did not want to be named said, "I'm going to cancel my rent," when he learned of the delay to the lift replacement. A spokesperson for Platform Housing said, "As part of our commitment to building safety, the lift at Brookthorpe Close in Warnden has been taken out of service as it is old, unreliable and difficult to maintain. We are currently making arrangements for a new, modern and reliable passenger lift for residents and other users to be installed. We apologise for the inconvenience this work will likely have on residents, and we have provided a stair lift for this in the interim period. The programme delivery team is working hard to minimise the disruption and are accelerating these works as much as possible."
Cancer support nurse faces axe. 1,500 people signed a petition against the move. People with breast cancer are anxious after learning a vital specialist nurse role at Worcester Hospital is to be axed. More than 1,500 people have signed a petition against the move. The role of the secondary breast cancer nurse specialist, providing support to patients through their cancer diagnosis and treatment, will no longer be in place from Monday, April the 1st, due to a cut in funding. Up until now, the role was funded by St Richard's Hospice, despite repeated requests by the hospice for the NHS to fund it over the last 4 years. The role is set to end. Debbie Westwood, care director at St Richard's Hospice, said, "Since we began funding a temporary second breast cancer community nursing role in 2015, we've been calling for a permanent funding solution to be found. We believe this role and others like it, already funded by the NHS, is vital for the support of people with metastatic breast cancer and should be supported and funded by the NHS as a fundamental part of oncology care. Mrs. Westwood said, having been told there would be no funding from Worcestershire Acute Hospitals NHS Trust to support a secondary breast cancer nurse into the future and taking the difficult decision not to continue to do so from the end of March, conversations with the Trust have unexpectedly restarted. We hope there will be a positive update from the Trust before the end of the month, she added. Debbie Donison from Lower Broadheath, near Worcester, who lives with metastatic breast cancer, said, since hearing the news, all my anxieties which I experienced when receiving my diagnosis have re-emerged. If I had not had the support of this person, I'm not sure where I would be now. She supported me emotionally but also practically, sorting out the complex nature of starting treatment and signposting to services that could help, showing me that it was possible to live with a terminal diagnosis. Mrs. Donison, aged 62, is among a group of patients who have started a petition over the matter and gained over 1,500 signatures. Simon Adams, Managing Director at Healthwatch, Worcestershire, said, we weren't aware of this until St. Richard's Hospice included us in the email. Patients contacted us to draw our attention to it. As I understand it, the service will not close on April the 1st, but be funded for another 6 months. This has thrown a spotlight on the service provision. They need to work out what they need to do in terms of new services in the south and north of the county. There will be more services, but we haven't been told what the new services will be. But we would like to have a more enhanced service with more resources. Worcestershire Acute Hospital Trust was unavailable for comment.
Now, this is the Thursday, March the 21st headline. Frustrated business owners are fed up with changing dates of roadworks and said they are embarrassed to have to keep contacting customers. Signs on Tolladine Road showing when roadworks are due to start keep changing, according to business owner Katie Lacroix. Miss Lacroix owns Unit C Hairdressers in Rose Avenue off Tolladine Road with lifelong friend Vicky Howe. Temporary traffic lights are planned to be placed in a lay-by outside the shop, which she said is typically used for customer parking. Signs announcing the closed lay-by popped up towards the start of this month, originally showing they would go ahead on Monday, March the 11th, as pictured, before changing last week to Monday, March the 18th. It changed a third time. And they were saying that the work was due to start on Monday, March the 25th. These changes have been affecting the businesses, as she has been informing her customers of the roadworks, which has resulted in cancellations and rebookings. Miss Lacroix said that we were keeping notifying our customers every week, and it is embarrassing. They rebook for the following week, when the roadworks are supposed to be over, and then we have to let them know that they haven't even started. We don't know whether we are coming or going. It's a difficult time as it is. What makes things worse is that nobody has let us know. Somebody just changes the sign. Unit C has been open for just under 3 years following rejuvenation plans for the area back in 2018. Miss Howe said, people have been avoiding these weeks coming and saying, I thought this was supposed to be happening last week. It's a big thing because there's these massive signs. There is constantly stuff being done, but they are always patching the road. In the first year we were open, nobody could get their car as the road was closed since they were building the houses. Since we both come from being mobile hairdressers and going to the customers, we are trying to make it a nice experience, but this is awful for the elderly and people in wheelchairs. A Worcester County Council spokesperson said, works are planned and under the use of multi stopway signals on Rose Avenue, Tolladine Road, between 25 and 29th of March to enable the developer to undertake works on behalf of Platform Housing. When approving works on the public highway, we have to take into consideration the other planned works to minimise disruption for motorists and residents. In this case, the original planned date of works was rescheduled due to another works going on Newtown Road.
Not a news item this time, but just a resume of entertainment in and around Worcester. Norbury Theatre first in Droitwich. They have a run from the 27th of March until the 30th of March by Whimsical Theatre, and they're presenting Anastasia, which is a musical. Next, number 8 in Pershore, we've got Simon Goodall and the Born Again Shadows celebrating 65 years of Cliff and the Shadows, and that's on Friday the 12th of April at 7:30. Also at number 8, Nye. This is a live from the National Theatre. It's a recording, and it's Michael Sheen who plays Nye Bevan in a surreal and spectacular journey through the life and legacy of the man who transformed Britain's welfare state and created the NHS. That's on Tuesday the 23rd of April at 7 p.m. Next we've got Huntingdon Hall. On Friday the 5th of April at 7:30, Bob Harris and Colin Hall. Bob Harris and author and music journalist Colin Hall set out upon an intimate speaking tour based around their mutual love and appreciation of the Beatles. Friday the 5th of April at 7:30. Also at Huntingdon Hall, Thursday the 4th of April at 7:30, Show of Hands. It's their Full Circle tour. And again at, no apologies, Swan Theatre, Dreamcoat Stars, Saturday the 6th of April at 7:30. And then we've also got little items from the paper. Band embarks on an anniversary tour, and it is the Feast of Fiddles. It's their spring tour, and it says it's following a very successful return to the road post-pandemic restrictions. That's on April the 9th at Huntingdon Hall. At the Swan Theatre, leading show to visit city, it's the Carpenter's Experience. And this is a show dedicated to celebrating the music of a famed sibling duo, and it's due to perform at Swan Theatre next month, April the 10th. Again at the Swan Theatre, Sailing, the Sounds of Rod Stewart, Rock Legend Tribute Act. And that will be on Wednesday, April the 24th at 7:30. And we've also got an orchestra performing Live Aid tributes in the city. Audiences can step back in time to experience some of the best songs from Live Aid in Worcester next month. The National Concert Orchestra of Great Britain will perform tracks from the historic Live Aid concert at Worcester Cathedral on April the 11th. Expect to hear tracks from the likes of David Bowie, George Michael and Freddie Mercury and Queen, as well as other popular artists. Take to the aisles and dance the night away to a modern orchestral vibe and prepare to be wowed as the orchestra transform the historic cathedral into a living light show like no other. And then in the Lido Park in Droitwich, there's free music every week. People can enjoy free live music, which is set to take place on a weekly basis in the Worcestershire Park, the Lido Park in Droitwich. And they'll be hosting free brass band performances at its bandstand. And that's each Sunday, starting from April the 28th to September the 15th. And a different brass band will play from 2:30 onwards. And finally, just to mention that this year it's Worcester's turn to host the Three Choirs Festival. And that runs from the 27th of July to the 3rd of August. And that completes the entertainments in and around Worcester.
And now some items from the newspapers that we hope you're going to enjoy. Worcester Cathedral has relaunched its Peregrine Falcon live stream on YouTube as the birds return to their nest. The live stream will give the public an intimate view as the birds named Peter and Peggy make their scrape, a hollow dugout in the gravel for nesting. While there may not be much action in the coming weeks, the cathedral's peregrine experts are hopeful that the first eggs will be laid towards the end of March. If all goes well, chicks may be seen hatching by late April or early May. Thereafter, viewers may witness exciting milestones, including feeding, ringing and fledgling of the chicks at the beginning of June. Peter and Peggy first moved into the cathedral in 2022, marking the first time in over a decade that a mated pair of peregrines nested there, subsequently producing and fledging four chicks. Last year, a live high-res camera was installed, offering 24-hour coverage that received almost 400,000 views worldwide. This year, the team has not only brought back the cameras, but will also broadcast the live stream within the cathedral. Later in the breeding season, the cathedral will host several drop-in sessions. Experts will attend with cameras and scopes to offer closer views of the birds and share insights about the species. Chris Dodds, biodiversity advisor for the cathedral, said, "It's fantastic to see this pair back in the cathedral again for what we hope will be another successful year. The birds love cathedral towers because they are similar in the ways to their natural habitat nestings and nesting sites, which include quarry faces, sea cliffs and mountain sides, as they like to have a high prospect lookout over the area of their territory, which cathedral towers and other tall buildings in cities obviously provide. Tracing back several centuries, peregrines have had a long history in Worcester, even featuring in the cathedral's grand west window and other parts of its stonework. The pair's progress can be watched live on YouTube or the Worcester Cathedral website. So you can telephone the cathedral if you wish to go along and have a look at any of this."
Easter eggs. Shrinking in size, some popular Easter eggs from brands including Maltesers, Lindt and Cadbury's cost at least 50% more than a year ago, while others have shrunk in size. The overall price of chocolate has increased by 12.6% in a year, significantly more than the 5.6% rise seen on the supermarket food and drink. Generally, after dry weather in West Africa led to a spike in global cocoa prices, according to the Which Supermarket Food and Drink Inflation Tracker, in the steepest example of Easter egg inflation, a 286-gram Maltesers Truffles luxury Easter egg was increased from £8 to £13 at Waitrose in the month to the end of February, compared with the same time a year ago, an increase of 62.5%. At Asda, a 50-gram Lindt Gold Bunny milk chocolate 5-pack increased from an average of £2 to £3.11, up 55.6%. At Tesco's, a 250-gram Ferrero Rocher Golden Easter Egg rose in price from £10 in the month to the end of February last year to £15 on average in the same period this year, an increase of 50%, which also found that Ocado, a 1 kilogram Cadbury mini egg large pouch, cost £8.86 last February, but £12.95 this year, up 46.2%. At Sainsbury's, a Kinder Easter with surprise 36-gram rose, in price from £1.50 to an average of £2, or a 33.3% increase, which did not include loyalty card prices or multi-buys in its analysis. As well as price increases, it also found examples of shrinkflation, with a Mars Milk Chocolate Large Easter Egg diminishing from 252 grams last year to 201 grams this February at Morrison's and Tesco's. Similarly, a Terry's Chocolate Orange Easter Egg and Mini Egg shrank from 230 grams to 200 grams at Asda, Morrison's, Sainsbury's and Tesco's, while a Smarties chocolate egg fell from 226 grams to 118 grams at Asda and Tesco's. Which retail editor Ellie Clark said, "Easter eggs are a non-negotiable highlight of spring for many of us, but which has found that paying for your chocolate haul will be more of a stretch this year. Some eggs are over 50% pricier, while others have shrunk. Waitrose said, thanks to our ongoing focus on price, the eggs that feature in this study are now considerably cheaper than the prices quoted. The Malteser egg, for example, is available for £8.50 rather than £13. A spokesman for Mars, which makes Mars, Maltesers and Twix, said we have been actively trying to find ways to absorb the rising costs of raw materials and operations, as we know from increasing the cost of living has impacted on both consumers and businesses across the UK. Unfortunately, the growing pressures mean that more needs to be done.
New city bridge on track despite floods. The Keepacks Bridge continues to take shape and remains on schedule despite setbacks caused by recent flooding. Seven bridge sections have now been put into place along the river, and further work on sections over the river are scheduled for after Easter. Councillor Mark Bayliss said, work on the site has been hampered by recent flooding events, but it now feels like we're pushing ahead with this important project, one that will bring a major boost for the health and well-being of people who live, work or study in Worcester. The work will require a 1,000-ton crane along with a moving pontoon in the river. The Canal and River Trust, along with the Environmental Agency, have been consulted to reduce and minimise the impact on both river users and wildlife. Councillor Bayliss, Worcestershire County Council's Cabinet Member for Economy, Infrastructure and Skills, also said, it's fantastic to see these bridge sections being lifted into place. You can now really start to see the bridge structure coming to life. It does use some disruption in the local area when these huge cranes are brought into the site, so I'd like to thank local residents for their cooperation and understanding during the deliveries. Once all bridge sections are installed, further work is needed before the bridge becomes operational. It will help to reduce traffic on the roads and promote health and well-being by providing additional capacity for people who cycle, walk and wheel. The Keepacks Bridge was approved in September 2021. Work began in October last year and the bridge is expected to be completed in 2024.
12 involved in M5 crash. 12 people were involved in a four-car crash on the M5. As one injured woman trapped inside her vehicle had to be freed by firefighters. The incident happened on the M5 northbound between Junction 7, Worcester South, and 6, Worcester North, at around 2:30 on March the 15th. The M5 was closed northbound between those junctions due to the multi-vehicle collision with motorists diverted onto the A4440. Drivers faced delays of an hour, even when the motorway reopened later that afternoon. The fire service said four cars were involved, and the police and ambulance said three cars. A spokesman for the West Midlands Ambulance Service said, one ambulance and a paramedic officer are currently in attendance. Upon arrival, we found a woman who was the driver of a car. She was extricated from the vehicle by the fire service. Once lift free from the car, she was assessed and had sustained injuries not believed to be life-threatening. She received treatment at the scene before being conveyed to Worcestershire Royal Hospital for further assessment. A spokesperson for Hereford and Worcester Fire and Rescue Service said it sent two crews, one from Worcester and one from Droitwich Fire Station. They were called at 2:30 on March the 15th to a road traffic collision on the M5 northbound between junctions 7 and 6. The incident involves four cars and 12 casualties, one of whom is medically trapped, with the other 11 in the care of paramedics. Police, ambulance and highways are all in attendance, with the motorway closed northbound. An eyewitness said, I saw two ambulances going down the southbound carriageway's hard shoulder with blue lights and sirens sounding. A while later, a police van headed the other way up the otherwise deserted northbound carriageway from the crash scene. A spokesperson for West Mercia Police said, "Officers are still on scene of this, so details are constantly coming through. We received a call around 2:25 this afternoon, March the 15th, with a report of a collision on the M5 slip road at Junction 7. Officers arrived at the collision to find three vehicles involved."
Plans for the refurbishment of an historic pub have been approved by planners. The Saracen's Head in the Tithing will get a new side extension, toilets and an extended bar area. Black Country Ales, which took over the pub last year, faced backlash after unveiling plans to carry out work on the Grade 2 listed building. Worcester Civic Society complained that there was inadequate detail in the planning application and that the heritage of the building had not been recognised or considered. Neighbours raised concerns that some of the Saracen's Head's original features would be ripped out and urged Black Country Ales to respect the fabric of the building. The brewery responded by saying it was not in the habit of ruining pubs, but restoring pubs to their former glory and enabling them to carry on trading for a long time to come, and they promised to come back with updated plans. The company's website lists dozens of real ale type pubs across the Midlands that it has refurbished. Approving the plans for the Saracen's Head, city planners said the amended proposals were of a sensitive design and incorporated some of the pub's original features. Worcester City Council's conservation officer initially objected to the proposal, criticising its lack of detail. But after two site visits and further discussions with the brewery, which resulted in the retention of features, including an original window and a new location being found for a fire escape, the objection was withdrawn. Planners said that following the submission of revised plans, reducing the footprint of the proposed extension, porch area and ensuring that the extension side courtyard area remains open, the proposals no longer result in a detrimental impact on heritage assets. The Saracen's Head closed in October after being bought by Black Country Ales and will reopen following the renovation work. The owners have said features like the function room and Skittle Alley will remain, and while it won't be a food venue as such, traditional bar snacks like cobs and pork pies will be available.
Meals Tackle Loneliness. A care home will open its doors weekly in an effort to tackle loneliness in the community. Latimer Court Care Home in Worcester is inviting elderly residents to enjoy a three-course meal every Wednesday from March the 27th. In addition to a meal, guests will have the chance to engage in friendly games and activities after dining. The Don't Dine Alone initiative, launched by Barchester Healthcare, aims to reach out to isolated or vulnerable people to reduce loneliness. Donna Tustin, General Manager at the care home, says, "Our doors are always open to new friends of the home." Next item. There's a plea to install water butts. Seven Trent is encouraging Worcestershire residents to combat flooding and household bills by installing a water butt. Two severe storms and a recorded above average rainfall in the area have spurred calls for efforts to slow water drainage into the sewer network. Water butts range in sizes, and according to customer demand at Seven Trent, Sophie Evans Young can alleviate the pressure on the sewage system and provide water for gardens during the hot periods. She said any form of flooding can be really distressing, but installing a water butt is a simple solution. So another item here. Takeaway's new rating for hygiene. The Worcester Takeaway has been awarded a brand new food hygiene rating. Lotus House, a takeaway at 153 London Road, Worcester, was given a 3 out of 5 score after a recent assessment, the Food Standards Agency website shows. The inspection was carried out on February the 20th by food safety officers who inspect areas for hygiene, food handling, cleanliness and condition of facilities, and building and management of food safety. Their standards were found to be generally satisfactory. It means that of Worcester's 102 takeaways, with ratings 62% have ratings of 5 and none have 0 ratings.
Major works to revitalise parts of the city centre, including Fallgate Street and Angel Street, are now entering their final phase. Worcestershire County Council has confirmed that upgrades have been completed in Angel Row, Angel Place, St Swithin Street, Trinity Passage, The Cross, Trinity Street, St Nicholas Street and the Fallgate. The most recent improvements to Fallgate Street are due to be completed soon. The multi-million pound improvement works are coming to become completed as part of the Worcester Future High Street Funds project. Angel Street is now set to be upgraded as part of the final works. It will feature new surfacing materials, lighting, street furniture and trees that will complement the surrounding area. The works will also create a general widening of footway areas. Full access to the street will be allowed for cyclists. A new loading bay will be introduced from which all deliveries to the street can be made safely. Most of the works will be delivered under a full road closure, starting just after the school Easter holidays in April. Depending on progress with Fallgate Street, the council hopes to make a start at the end of March with some of the advanced works which can be done safely ahead of the road closure. The road will be closed for up to 14 weeks. Councillor Mark Bayliss, Worcestershire County Council's Cabinet Member with responsibility for economy, infrastructure and skills, said, "I'm really pleased to see that the improvements are being delivered to such a high standard and to the expected timescales. The works so far have made a huge difference to the appearance of the city centre and I look forward to the final phase starting soon. This major investment in the heart of Worcester brings benefits to local retailers, businesses, residents and visitors alike. The project will contribute significantly to the sustainability of our local economy and long-term viability and prosperity."
Bizarre responses to speed offences. Police have revealed some of the peculiar responses they've received to speeding offences. Road safety unit officers have expressed their astonishment at the bizarre efforts some drivers undertake to evade punishment. Alison Trahan from the unit said, "Despite their attempts to avoid accountability for speeding on a road, this approach has always failed at court. And we are sharing some of the examples so you can see why. A Malvern man, 44, was caught driving at 65 miles per hour on the M42 near Tamworth in Arden on July the 15th last year. When asked to identify the driver of the vehicle, which was registered to his address, he handed over a 65-page document claiming fraud and referencing a parking fine. He also provided an exhibit voicing his opposition of tax, entitled "There is a loaf of bread on Morrison's shelf." His defence did not hold up in court and he was fined £660 and had 6 points taken from his licence. A Reddish man, 62, was caught speeding at 57 miles per hour on the M40 near Lapworth. His defence strategy was historically inspired, writing letters referencing the Magna Carta and fraud claims. He took things a step further, declaring his name was trademarked and copyrighted. His bid to claim damages of £1.5 million with 8% daily interest did not succeed. He suffered the same fate as the previous offender earlier this year. The owner of a speed limit offending vehicle, a 57-year-old man, was let down by his officer response strategy. His defence was grounded in claims the addressed person was a dead soul and not a living entity. His tactics failed and he was fined £660 and received 6 points on his licence. Ms. Trehearne concluded, sadly for them, if they had cooperated with us and provided the driver's details when required, then the most likely outcome would be for the driver to be offered a speed awareness course. Our appeal to the public is to please comply with the road traffic legislation and do not be taken in by bogus material on the internet that will result in a much more costly outcome.
And now some items of sporting interest. This is about cricket. Overseas signing is Player of the Year. Worcestershire 2024 overseas signing Nathan Smith won New Zealand Men's Domestic Player of the Year award after a memorable summer with the Wellington Firebirds. Smith's superb campaign was recognised at the ANZ New Zealand Cricket Awards ceremony in Christchurch. He has led the Firebirds bowling unit across all three formats and at the time of judging had claimed a total of 52 wickets, more than any other player on the men's domestic circuit. Smith, who is available to play all formats for Worcestershire this summer, has produced many excellent performances. He led the Firebirds to a memorable Super Smash win over the Otago Vault in Alexandra, with career best T20 figures of 4-5. In addition, Smith is the second highest wicket taker in the Plunket Shield with 28 scalps from just 9 innings at an average of 15.92 in the 4-day competition. His tally includes 2 5 wicket hauls and a career best last week of 6-36 against Canterbury in Rangiora. Smith is due to fly into England in time for Worcestershire's opening county championship match against Warwickshire at Edgbaston beginning on April the 5th.
Duncan walked with the gods of the game. Yorkshireman Duncan Fernley, who has died at the age of 83, held a unique position in Worcestershire County Cricket Club. Not only was he a solid opening batsman, a member of the county championship winning team in 1964, and later chairman of the club during its most successful period, but as a maker of fine cricket bats, he walked with the gods of the game. Legends like Ian Botham, Viv Richards, Graham Pollock, Sunil Gavaskar and Alan Border all used Fernley bats and their distinctive three black stumps logo and became a familiar sight on cricket grounds across the world when run records were made. Botham's most famous series came during the 1981 Ashes between England and Australia, when he used his Duncan Fernley bat, hitting 399 runs, including a sensational 149 not out at Headingley. Paul Pridgeon, Worcestershire CCC's acting chairman, said, "Duncan's passing is a tremendous loss. His contributions as a player, an administrator and passionate support of the club were immeasurable. He was at the heart and soul of Worcestershire, leaving an indelible mark on the club. His legacy as a bat maker and his profound love for the club will always be remembered. We have lost a true cricketing legend who will be profoundly missed by everyone connected with the club." Former club secretary Mike Vokens added, "Soon after I joined Worcestershire in 1971, Duncan was asked to captain the second 11 and help develop the young players. His enthusiasm, love of the game and determination should be played in the right way, rubbed off on those youngsters and instilled them in them the Worcestershire way of playing, and all is alongside his bat making and going on to probably the best bat maker in the world." Then came his time as a committee member and notably his 12 years as chairman of the committee. It was markedly successful time for the club when Phil Neal won 6 titles in 5 seasons and Duncan's drive and enthusiasm contributed much. Working with him in this period was exciting. Duncan Fernley, born in Pudsey, Yorkshire, a left-handed bat, played for England schoolboys but failed to graduate beyond Yorkshire seconds. Like many others over the years, he had to leave the White Rose County and found home in Worcestershire. He enjoyed success, averaging 20 in 97 first-class matches from 1962 to 68 and played 22 times in the 1964 Championship side, making 4 half-centuries. In 1969 he went to Lincolnshire to play in the minor counties and returned to New Road to be captain of Worcester Seconds in 1972, having played 2 List A matches for the first 11 the season before. Perhaps realising he was never going to be a superstar, during the winters he made bats to supplement his income. His father was a woodwork teacher and his grandfather a cabinet maker who worked alongside the grandfather of Ray Illingworth. The young Duncan had gained an apprenticeship with the Batters, Fred Clough and Les Ward in the Dreitlington Bradford, and after his father gave him the tools, he began to make his own brand of bats, Tudor Rose, before changing the name to Fernley. He introduced the signature three bat wickets, the first time a logo like that had been used to replace ink stampings. In 1968, he opened a shop in Sandson Place, telling an interviewer, "I gathered some equipment together, and that way I could make bats in the winter and play in the summer. Me and a few friends used them, and that's how it started. By the time Worcestershire didn't extend my contract, I knew if I got stuck in there, there was no stopping me." Ironically, one of the first famous cricketers to use Fernley bat was England fast bowler John Snow, who habitually batted last man in. And Duncan added, "John, who was a bit of a character, said, if you stick it on the back of my bat, I'll use it. The next time he walked out in a test, he slung his bat over his shoulder so everyone could see the design. It was a brilliant feeling. After that, my wife cut out the first 4,000 by hand and stuck it on everything." Basil D'Oliveira of Worcestershire and Dennis Amis of Warwickshire soon followed, and by the early 1980s, Fernley had become the dominant market brand throughout the world. At the time, many top international cricketers were using or wearing the three-wicket symbol. However, during the 1990s, the marketplace changed, with many smaller brands developing cricket bat production. Fernley firmly resisted this trend and cut production accordingly, still concentrating on totally handcrafted bats in its Worcester factory, which still produces 5,000 bats every year. When his playing days were over, Duncan Fernley's dedication to Worcestershire was unwavering. In 1986, he was named chairman, leading the club through a golden era that included two county championship titles and two Sunday league titles, the Refuge Assurance Cup, the Benson and Hedges Cup, and the NatWest Trophy over a period of just 12 years. His tenure at the club president from 2011 to 2013, followed by his election as honorary vice president, were sources of immense pride for him. Duncan is survived by his wife Mary, his son Paul, daughter Louise and their families. A service of thanksgiving is due to be held in Worcester Cathedral after Easter.
Worcester City women will have two teams in the Worcestershire FA County Cup final, as both the first team and developmental team won their respective semi-finals on Sunday. City women thrashed Bewdley Town Ladies 7-1 at Six Ways, whilst the development team cruised to a 4-0 win over Malvern Town Women at the HDA Anywhere Community. The WFA County Cup final will therefore be contested by both Worcestershire City women teams and the headquarters of the WFA at Clanes Lane on April the 28th. Starting with the first team, they were always big favourites for the contest with Bewdley, and it was quickly apparent that it was going to be a tough day at the office when Jess Fassinage put them ahead just after 12 minutes. Holly Rogers scored a remarkable 22-minute hat-trick to make it 4-love at half-time, ultimately finishing the game off with 45 still to play. At the same time, over in Malvern, the development side were also proving too much to handle for the opponents, as goals from Lauren Smith, Tinny Conway had them 3-love up after the break. Bewdley did pull back at Six Ways early in the second half, but that only fuelled City's hunger for more goals. Fassinage, Olivia Mitchum and Laura Davis all scored to complete the convincing 7-1 win for City. Alice Finlay also got on the score sheet for the development side in Malvern as they booked their place in the final with a 4-love victory. It will be a celebration of a hugely successful season for the Worcester ladies when the two sides meet at Clanes Lane at the end of April.
Cooper Bagg's titles on Night of His Life. It was a memorable evening for Worcester's very own Owen Cooper, as he showed all his quality to beat Ethan James to claim both the European and English WBO welterweight belts in Birmingham on Saturday. Cooper, formerly of Worcester City Amateur Boxing Club, produced a masterclass, according to the BT Sport commentators, before James's corner pulled him from the fight at the end of the ninth round. The 23-year-old went after his unbeaten opponent from the first bell and produced a series of hefty blows that eventually left James's corner no option but to call an end to the fight, and it sparked emotional scenes between Cooper and his team. Cooper, now fighting under famous promoter Frank Warren and Queensbury Promotions, was well backed by a large number of supporters, most of which from his old boxing club, Worcester City ABC. He paid tribute to all those who backed him on the night as part of the Magnificent Seven event at the Resorts World Arena in Birmingham. As always, I want to start off by saying thank you to every single person who purchased tickets, he said on Facebook. Cooper remains unbeaten in his professional career with 10 wins, 4 knockouts.
All to play for. City take one goal advantage into second leg of cup final. Worcester City have a chance to lift silverware for the first time since 2019 on Wednesday night in the second leg of their Wiseman Lighting Floodlit Cup final with Roman Glass St George. City take a 2-1 lead from the first leg after a brace from Dylan Hart last Tuesday. Alfie Cummings' second half goal means it is still all to play for on Wednesday. Worcester's last trophy was 5 years ago when they beat Studley on penalties to claim the Worcestershire Senior Urn. Two current players were involved that day in the form of winger Liam Lockett and striker Keon Evans. City came from behind twice that night at Evesham United, both goals being scored by the now-retired Dave Reynolds. It is the first of our four potential trophies for manager Chris Corns this season, and whilst it will not be the priority, winning competitions should never be taken for granted and can only maintain the incredible momentum they have. Corns admitted the first leg lacked intensity of a final, but Wednesday's second leg should have much more of a cup final feel to it. I think both sides agreed it didn't feel like a final first leg. I really don't understand why the league do it this way, with two legs. Both clubs were in agreement to make it a one-off final, but that's what it is. But we're 2-1 up on aggregate, and we will just keep going and keep ourselves ready for the second leg on Wednesday. His side made it 17 wins in a row on Saturday to keep their Hellenic League Premier title well on track, and an 18th, a draw would be good enough. We'll bring some silverware back to the trophy cabinet, which is nothing to be sniffed at. But Roman Glass showed in the game last week that they can be a threat, so this tie remains very much on a knife edge. The Worcester News will bring you all the action on our Match Day Live blog that will be updated on our website throughout the day and into the evening.
Thank you very much. And now we'll go back to some stories that we may, we hope that you will find very interesting. And we'll start with Sue.
The legacy of a long-standing City Club member has been remembered with a memorial. Worcester's U3A group's Elizabeth Coxon, who died in 2016, aged 69, left around £27,000 in her will to be used for the benefit of members. Publicity and Development Secretary Fern Langdon said, "We wanted to provide the memorial to Elizabeth, and the membership decided on a bench to be set by the river. We ordered the bench from Worcester City Council, and it is set in a gap between two sycamore trees on the Worcester Cathedral side, between the river and the boathouse and ferry steps. The bench was unveiled by Mayor Louis Stephen, with many three U3A members in attendance, including former mayors Roger Berry and Joe Hodges. Art lover Elizabeth, a former primary school teacher and special needs teacher, loved to watch clouds. A plaque on the bench says, "Sit by while and watch the clouds go by." Group chair Lawrence Whale, who is stepping down at the AGM this week at the end of his 3-year term, was instrumental in getting the bench in place. Councillor Stevens said, "Thank you to Worcestershire U3A for making this bench possible. For every many older people and those with disabilities, a bench and ideally a series of benches is the difference between being able to go for a walk and not. Worcester U3A, part of a wider national network, is an active and lively organisation for those no longer working full-time. Run by committee elected its members, it offers opportunities to learn, laugh and live. The motto of the national network. It offers around 90 interests and activity groups for various members, meeting fortnightly at various venues around the city between September and May."
Petition handed in after city crash. The mission to get a crossing on a busy road where a woman was knocked down is one step closer after residents complained of suffering horrible near misses at the same spot. The petition, which asked for a button-operated Pelican crossing at Windermere Drive in Warndon near Sainsbury's Blackpool, was handed in to the Worcestershire County Council at County Hall. A woman in her 40s was knocked down on Wednesday, February the 7th, and rushed to the Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Birmingham with life-threatening injuries, sparked the petition. The petition, organised in the wake of the incident by Labour councillors and candidates, gathered 200 signatures. The injured woman is said to be in a stable condition after the incident at about 5:20 p.m. A beige Nissan Figaro, travelling from Blackpool towards Sainsbury's, collided with a woman crossing at the zebra crossing. Councillor Jill Desiree, who has been calling for a Pelican crossing at the spot for a year, thanked the chair and vice chair of the meeting for accepting the petition. She said, "I had two reasons for asking County Highways to make this zebra crossing into a Pelican over a year ago. Firstly, several residents confirmed that speeding traffic approaching the crossing was a serious concern. Many people waited some time before stepping onto it, because so many cars simply sped through it. Secondly, as a driver, I could understand how lines of sight weren't sufficiently clear to make the approach to the crossing safe from either direction, leaving little time to see and safely stop for pedestrians, as the high barriers obscured the views. Screeching tyres were often heard at last second brakes were applied, and dozens of near misses arose. The data gathered on this petition is a revelation. Time after time, we spoke with people who had suffered the anxiety of a close call. Vehicles would stop on one side of the road, allowing waiting pedestrians to start to cross, but vehicles coming in the opposite direction failed to stop, whizzing past them, marooning them mid-close crossing. So many near misses, often involving people with mobility issues or pushing buggies. Horrible. Therefore, in addition to the Pelican crossing, we believe that traffic calming measures are needed, as determined by a full safety assessment. Residents' accounts in the petition have been described as chilling by its organisers. Edward Kimberley, a City Council candidate for Warndon, said, "Preparing this petition, reading all the testimonies and setting them out to go to County Hall is one of the saddest things I've ever had to do. The pages we have handed over were full of human stories of near misses, frightening situations and sympathy for the victim of the recent accident. I hope never to have to do this again. I hope the County Council will take speedy action to make this deadly crossing safe."
the announcement that the Royal Maundy Day service will take place in Worcester Cathedral this year has brought great excitement. And this is written by the Dean, the interim Dean, Canon Stephen Edwards. He says, "We are busy with preparations and look forward to an amazing day. The service is named after Maundy Thursday, the day on which Jesus, during his Last Supper, knelt to wash his disciples' feet. He said to them, 'I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.' The word Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, the new commandment. On Maundy Thursday in the cathedral, Her Majesty the Queen will give the Maundy money, small purses of coins, to 75 men and 75 women from across the nation who have served their communities and churches through various acts of kindness and ministry to others. Acts of kindness take place day in, day out, and mostly are hidden from public view. Each of us can give examples of strangers as well as friends who have, through a word or a smile or an action, brought us joy or hope, compassion or love. To love one another is a commandment of Jesus, and yet we know that this love can sometimes be eclipsed by the desperate news which the world endures through wars, famine, violence and discrimination. The commandment to love one another is easier to say than it is sometimes to enact. We all know that liking some people isn't always an easy task. But love then we must, even if we would not naturally spend time with them. Love isn't easy, which is why we need to hear again the commandment that we love one another. As the quiet kindness and service of the recipients is honoured in the Royal Maundy service, we might hear afresh Jesus' words that you love one another as I have loved you." And the service takes place on Maundy Thursday, which is the 28th of March.
The county burglars who are now in jail. Shane Perry, Tony Myers, Nikasum Mirakia, Russell Purfield are in jail. Burglars are beginning life behind bars after one tried to escape police by running away and another broke into a major chain store to steal high-value electrical goods. Four burglars operating across Worcestershire are now serving long jail sentences. One of the burglars jailed was linked to the Argos burglary in both Worcester and Evesham. We previously reported how stolen laptops worth thousands were seized from an overgrown grass area near a Worcester bridge following a raid on the Argos store in the city's Blackpool on Sunday, January the 8th last year. The raid followed another break at Argos in Evesham on Friday, January the 6th last year, during which electrical items were stolen. Between them all, the burglars were sentenced to the equivalent of 13 years. DI Dave Knight of Proactive CID said burglary is a crime that has a serious detrimental impact on victim and community. It is right that West Mercia Police focus on this particular crime in order to ensure no stone is left unturned in identifying these types of offenders in order to bring them to justice. Shane Perry, 19, of Millwood Court, Worcester, was convicted at Worcester Crown Court on March the 18th after entering guilty pleas to burglary offences. He was sentenced to 24 months in a young offenders institution. Four further burglary dwelling offences occurred in Redditch and Broadway areas in October 2023, were also taken into consideration by the courts. Perry was initially arrested in November 2023 in connection with a number of car key burglaries that occurred in Richmond Road, Malvern and Goodwood Road, Malvern. The investigation also highlighted the involvement of a number of other youths who cannot be named, who have also been convicted in Worcester Court and received youth rehabilitation orders. Russell Purfield, of no fixed address, has been sentenced to 27 months custodial sentence following a guilty plea to a burglary in Orchard Walk, Evesham. Purfield was initially arrested by Evesham Safer Neighbourhood Team officers in January 2024 for unrelated matters. Further investigation by the Proactive CID burglar team led to Purfield being charged and remanded to court. Tony Myers, 21, of Old Hibiscus Lane, Oldbury, was sentenced to a 41-month custodial sentence for offences of conspiracy to commit burglary. During April 2023, Myers was involved in a number of car key burglaries across West Mercia police area, including offences in Malvern, Powick, Kidderminster, Bewdley, Newport, Shropshire and Telford. During April 2023, numerous attempts were made to arrest Myers in connection with these offences. During an early arrest attempt, Myers evaded police by jumping a fence and running across a rail line close to his home address, while his associate rammed a marked police vehicle prior to escaping. Myers continued to actively evade arrest, but on May the 7th last year was located and arrested by police. After being charged and remanded to court, Myers was bailed by the court, and after bail breaches were committed, officers from South Worcestershire Proactive CID located and arrested him. He was remanded to prison following the conclusion of his trial, which resulted in a guilty plea. Nikosu Mirasia, 35, of Queen Mary's Road, Coventry, was arrested as a result of Opblast for the targeting of Argos stores nationally. Between December 2022 and January 2023, a number of Argos stores across the country, including in the West Mercia area, have been targeted during the hours of darkness. Offenders forced entry into the storerooms. Multiple arrests and charges have been authorised, but to date, no one suspect has been sentenced following a guilty plea. Mirasi was arrested in February 2023 and charged and remanded to prison awaiting sentence for burglaries. On March 8th, he was sentenced at Worcester Crown Court to a 63-month custodial sentence.
A popular podiatry business has put its best foot forward as it continues the legacy of decades under a new ownership after the former owner retired. Worcester Podiatry and Laser Clinic at 23 Bransford Road in St John's in Worcester hosted an open day on Saturday, March the 16th, and to mark a new milestone. It follows the retirement of previous owner Jonathan Nichols, who established what the new owners describe as a very busy and successful practice over the last 35 years. Patty Cairns, 40, will now own and manage the business along with her husband Ed Cairns, and will combine that with running several weekly clinics herself. Mr. Cairns said she's excited to have the space and infrastructure to welcome new patients to the practice and is absolutely committed to offering expert foot care solutions using cutting-edge technology and techniques in a relaxed and professional nurturing environment. I'll just read another short piece here. The NHS has appealed for patients to ensure they order their repeat prescriptions on time, partly because of the Easter bank holiday. The holiday will run from Friday, March the 19th, to Tuesday, April the 2nd, during which time there will be alterations to regular open times for some NHS services, including GP practices and pharmacies. Healthcare bosses are urging people to arrange for repeat prescriptions ahead of time via the NHS appointments or their GP's website to ensure they have the medication they need for the Easter weekend. Additionally, for all non-critical needs, people are advised to consult NHS 111 first through visiting 111. nhs.uk or using the NHS app. Trained advisors can provide necessary guidance, including arranging for a call from a health professional if needed. Confidential advice, along with medicines for minor ailments, can be obtained from pharmacists who have extended their services. Alison Rogers, NHS Herefordshire and Worcestershire Pharmacy Lead, said, "It's important to plan ahead and make sure that you're fully prepared for the Easter holiday. There are a number of different things people can do to be ready. For example, remember to collect your repeat prescription, keep a supply of remedies for coughs and colds at home, and know which healthcare services are available to you."
Students complete 24-hour fundraiser. City Students completed a 24-hour CPR marathon for charity. those studying as paramedics at the University of Worcester teamed up with staff members to perform continuous cardiopulmonary resuscitation on a mannequin. The challenge, organised by the university's paramedic society, raised funds for charities including Midlands Air Ambulance and Cardiac Risk in the Young, as well as contributing towards installing a defibrillator in a shop in the area. The event also sought to shed light on gender imbalance within life-saving actions. Figures suggest women are 28% less likely to receive CPR from passers-by due to factors including embarrassment and inappropriate touching concerns. Third-year paramedic student Izzy Gamble, one of the event's organisers, said, "When I first saw that statistic and heard that people are worried about exposing a chest or taking a bra off, it really surprised me. I thought, why is this such a problem? And it played on my mind. We have Annie dolls, which we use to train CPR, but why don't they have breasts? Why are they all male dolls? It got me thinking, and I thought we'd try and get the word out at the CPR marathon to let people know it's okay to give CPR to women. You won't get into trouble for it. Let's try and save as many lives as we can." The marathon concluded at 9 a.m. last Friday and eventually raised almost £1,000 in total for the chosen charities. Miss Gamble added, "I feel ecstatic that we've completed this challenge, and I'm so proud of the team for all the time, effort and hard work they put into the project with me. The hardest part would have to be the organisation, the lead up to it and making sure the event ran smoothly, which it did. Without the team, the event wouldn't have happened, and I'm grateful for them all pushing through and helping to get this done."
A former newspaper editor sat with his head in his hands after he appeared in court for making indecent images of children after it was revealed the case had taken a heavy toll on him. Rob George, ex-editor of the Worcester Observer, appeared at Worcester Crown Court, it says yesterday, which would have been the 15th of March, for sentencing and hearing. But the case had to be adjourned for legal reasons. The 42-year-old of Rowan Close Bromsgrove has already admitted three charges of making an indecent photograph, pseudo-photograph of a child. George appeared before magistrates on February the 15th, when he admitted making the images between March the 7th, 2014 and October the 14th, 2021 in Bromsgrove. George made one Category A image, the worst level identified within the sentencing guidelines, two Category B images and 36 Category C images. The case at Crown Court was prosecuted by Holly Kilby and George was represented by Julian King. George was initially interviewed about the offences more than 2 years ago. Mr. King said, "This has taken a heavy toll on Mr. George professionally and personally, the loss of his job, his mental health and his family relationships." The court was told that the starting point within the sentencing guidelines was a year in custody for making a Category A image. Mr. King said there had been no further offending or concern in the 2 years since the interview. Mr. King urged the judge to proceed to the sentencing. "This is suitable for a suspended sentence to allow the defendant to move forward with his life," he said. He added that George was considering serious self-harm. "He has reported those thoughts to me today. I do harbour that concern for his well-being. I have sought mental health liaison officers available in the court, but they're not in today. That is the toll that is taking on this defendant," said Mr. King. Judge Martin Jackson said, "If I adjourn this for any period of time, this is going to impose strain on Mr. George. I can see that from his demeanour in court." The case was adjourned until April the 12th at Wolverhampton Crown Court, with George granted unconditional bail in the meantime. However, the judge also said the case needed to be expedited and that any further delay would not be appropriate in this case. Lauren Millichip, prosecuting, said in the earlier hearing at the Magistrates Court, "The offence is aggravated by the age and vulnerability of the children, between 1 and 8 years old. The prosecutor added there were also moving images found on a video file. George was previously listed as being the editor of the Bullivant media-owned Worcester Observer, Malvern Observer and the Evesham Observer on their websites. He had also worked as a reporter at the Bromsgrove Standard.
A rare visitor spotted on the river. A rare visitor has been seen making friends with the resident swans on the River Severn in Worcester. The Hooper swan has been in the city for about a week from its usual breeding ground in Iceland. The RSPB described the Hooper swan as a large white swan, bigger than a Buick swan, which has a long thin neck, which it usually holds erect, and black legs. Wendy Carter, a spokesperson for the Worcestershire Wildlife Trust, confirmed it is a Hooper swan. She said they're a migratory species that mostly breed in Iceland, though there are a handful of pairs that breed in the very north of Scotland. They're rare visitors to Worcestershire, and this one has been socialising with Worcester's resident mute swans for the past week or so. There have been a few sightings of Hooper swans in Worcestershire this winter, so it's possible that this one has been seen elsewhere in the county recently. We suspect that it won't be long before it takes off to return to Iceland.
A flood alert was placed on the River Severn in Worcester as roads closed in the county after heavy rainfall. The Environment Agency placed flood alerts on the River Severn through the city yesterday morning and River Avon in Worcestershire. New Street in Upton closed due to the flooding. Upper Hook Road was closed after two cars became stuck in flood water. The Environment Agency has warned that the flooding of the low-lying land and roads adjacent to the river was expected. Again, a spokesman said, "River levels are high but steady at the Diglis Worcester River gauge as a result of heavy rainfall. Consequently, flooding of roads and farmland is possible. We expect flooding to affect low-lying land and roads adjacent to the river from Highley to Tewkesbury. Locations affected are Stourport, Holtfleet, Worcester, Kempsey, Sevenstoke, Upton-upon-Severn, South Quay, Diglis Parade and the Hilton Road towpath. Further rainfall is forecast over the next 48 hours. We are closely monitoring the situation. Our incident response staff are checking defences. The Environment Agency has warned that people should avoid contact with flood water." And there's another one here. Two flood alerts were in place on Worcestershire rivers after heavy rainfall. The Environment Agency has placed two alerts saying flooding is possible on the River Salwarp and River Avon, warning people to be prepared. It warns that the river in Salwarp, as well as Harford Grange near Ombersley, where there was heavy rainfall. We expect flooding to affect low-lying land and roads adjacent to the river from Catshill to Horford.
City leisure centres thrill at excellence recognition. A city leisure centre has been given excellent status. Purdiswell Leisure Centre, operating under Freedom Leisure on behalf of Worcester City Council, recently achieved an excellent rating from Quest Accreditation. Quest, widely accepted as the industry's benchmark for superior UK leisure facilities, scrutinised numerous aspects of Purdiswell's operation to validate its high service and performance standards. In its assessment, it found Purdiswell exemplary in several zones, praising its commitment to customer satisfaction and operational prowess. The Quest assessment involved a surprise visit and a two-day aspect-by-aspect inspection. The centre impressively secured excellent ratings in 6 out of 11 modules. Markedly, the swimming lessons module confirmed the centre's dedication to safety and skill growth in water-based activities. Furthermore, 2 modules centred on team management and leadership affirmed the harmonious approach of the centre's leadership. The centre's efforts towards increasing participation and reducing inactivity were also commended. This reflected its efficiency in promoting a healthy lifestyle within the community. Rob Tyler, Freedom Leisure's area manager in Worcester, said, "We are thrilled to have achieved an excellent rating in Quest. It demonstrates our ongoing commitment to delivering an exceptional health and well-being experience for our community. This recognition is testament to the hard work and dedication of all my colleagues who continually strive to uphold the highest standards of service and professionalism." The approval from Councillor Neil Lawrenson, Vice Chairman of Worcester City Council's Communities Committee, was echoed similarly. "It is good to see the high quality offer that the City Council and Freedom Leisure are providing at Purdeswell Leisure Centre being recognised. Ensuring we have a healthy and active city is one of the Council's key objectives, and I hope this excellent Quest rating will encourage more people to use the swimming pool, gym, sports hall and other facilities at Purdeswell. Purdeswell Leisure Centre's award of an excellent Quest rating further cements its reputation as a prime provider of leisure amenities in the region. As the centre continually innovates and adapts, improving the health and happiness of the community through dynamic leisure experience remains its mission."
A county estate agency has teamed up with a financial planning firm for a community Easter egg hunt on Good Friday, March the 29th. Nicol & Co's and Mindful Financial Planning Estate Fund will unfold at Droitwich Cricket Club between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. with the egg hunt trail located around Lido Park and St Peter's Church. This follows last year's successful activity that saw around 145 eggs won by family participants. Martin Davis of Mindful Financial Planning and chair of the cricket club said, "We're really looking forward to another Easter egg hunt for the whole community in Droitwich. Families taking part are given clues and the children have to go around and collect all of the stamps which will be placed at each location. Everyone is welcome and refreshments will be available. We are pleased to be getting involved for the second year running with our great partners Nicol & Co." Matt Nicol, Managing Director of Nicol & Co, is both the main club sponsor and an ardent supporter of the team. Mr Nicol said, "Everyone enjoyed last year's event so much that we were keen to get involved again and to provide a bit of fun for families this Easter. It will be great to see people out and about, hopefully enjoying the sunny weather and celebrating Easter by finding enough clues to win themselves a delicious chocolate egg." Last year's event took place on April the 7th and saw children collect 10 clue cards scattered around the area. The collaboration event, now in its second year, promises an afternoon which aims to foster community ties as the local families come together in the seasonal celebration. And I've got just one short story, which is quite interesting. Two Worcestershire schools have received a mini police officer after winning a West Mercia police competition. Stanley Road Primary and Burlish Park Primary were among eight victors in a road safety poster contest. Police and Crime Commissioner John Campion said, "It was brilliant to see so many primary school children getting involved. They should be proud of their efforts to promote safe driving in their community. A mini police officer will now stand outside the schools reminding motorists to drive safely." And that's the final item tonight for you all, and do hope that you found some of them of interest. And we also like to wish you all a very, very happy Easter. It's a little bit early, I know, but we won't be speaking to you again now until after Easter. So have a wonderful time, won't you? And to keep safe and hope the weather improves. we're all hoping that. And now we'll just say goodnight to you, but the obituaries and thought for the day and the telephone numbers will follow.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
I'll say good night, but I'll say good night again later. And the thought for the day this week is Luke chapter 3, verses 32 to 35. "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." And now the obituaries for this week. Jean Allen passed away peacefully on the 21st of February, aged 88 years. Her funeral service is to take place tomorrow, the 22nd of March at 11:30 a.m. at Worcester Crematorium. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, for the Dogs Trust or Cancer Research UK. They can be left at the crematorium, or they can be sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester, which is WR37EU. And if you are able to attend the funeral, Jean requested that everyone wear colourful clothing. John Glenn, he passed away peacefully on the 8th of March, aged 91 years. His funeral service is at the Vale Crematorium, Fladbury, on Friday the 5th of April at 1 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, for Acorns Children's Hospice may be sent care of Murstow Green Funeral Home, Evesham. And that's WR11 4BD. Roger Bennett passed away on Tuesday the 5th of March at Worcester Hospital, aged 80 years. His funeral service will take place at Worcester Crematorium on the 21st of March. That was today. So family flowers only required. But if desired, the NHS Blood and Transplant Trust Fund can be left donations via Bedwardine Funeral Services. Telephone number for them is 01905 748811. Paul Butler passed away on the 9th of March, aged 61 years. A memorial and funeral service for family and friends will be held at Worcester Crematorium on Thursday the 28th of March at 12:15 p.m. Family flowers only, please, but memorial donations in Paul's name may be made to Sight Savers International or the British Heart Foundation, care of E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester, WR37EU. Sean Clifford passed away at home on the 6th of March, aged 59 years. His funeral service that also took place today, the 21st of March. And that was family flowers only, please. But donations, if desired, for St Richard's Hospice may be sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester, WR37EU. Pauline Huckridge passed away on the 9th of March. Her Thanksgiving service is at Wood Green Church on the 25th of March at 2:45 p.m. That's in Hastings Drive, and that's Warnden Villages. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, for Diabetes UK or the Good News for Everyone. And that can be left at the church or sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester. Joan Hunt, Nee Price, passed away on the 25th of February. Her funeral service is to be held at St John the Baptist Church, Clanes, on Wednesday the 27th of March at 1 p.m, followed by a private interment. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, for Midlands Air Ambulance may be left at the church or sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester, WR37EU. Richard Foote passed peacefully away on the 28th of February, aged 75 years. A celebration of life will be held at St Andrew's Methodist Church on Wednesday the 27th of March at 12 noon. Family flowers only, please, but donations, if desired, for St Michael's Hospice or Acorns Children's Hospice Trust. They may be left on the plate at the funeral service or sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester, WR37EU. Mavis Gregory, and this is at, it has been announced, her death has been announced before, but this is a change of funeral time. She died on the 22nd of February, aged 87 years, and the funeral is to take place on Wednesday the 20th of March. Well, of course, that was yesterday. But donations, if desired, can be sent to the Co-op Funeral Care, 17 Lowsmore, Worcester, WR12RS, and that's for the Worcester Community Garden. So you may know of that, and they will be able to help you at the Co-op Funeral Care if you ring. Brian Lee passed away on the 3rd of March, aged 89 years. His funeral service is to take place at the Worcester Crematorium on the 22nd of March, tomorrow at 12:15. Family flowers only, please, but donations for site concern may be left at the service. There is mention of the funeral director for him, but hopefully, if you do know this gentleman, you'll know a member of the family and may be able to get some more information that way. Margaret Lewis passed away on the 26th of February, aged 87 years. A funeral service will be held at the Vale Crematorium. Again, that's happened. It was yesterday, the 20th of March. Family flowers of only, please, but donations to be sent for Acorns Children's Hospice or St Richard's Hospice, sent to AV Band Funeral Directors, 41 St Nicholas Street, Worcester. That's telephone number 01905 22892. Marion Lewis died peacefully on the 29th of February, aged 86 years. A celebration of her life was held at St Peter's Church, Powick, on Wednesday of this year, of this week. But donations, if desired, for Orbis may be sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester. So hopefully that will help. If you contact them, they'll tell you a little more about that. Gerald Mason, known as Digger to his friends, I think, he died peacefully at St Raphael's Hospice in Cheam, Surrey. There is no mention of funeral service at all. It's just a notification that he's died for anyone who may have known him. Nancy Munslow died on the 5th of March, and she was 84 years. Service of thanksgiving at St Philip and St James Church on Tuesday the 26th of March at 2 p.m, followed by a private committal at Worcester Crematorium. No flowers, please, but donations, if desired, for Bowel Cancer UK or the Alzheimer's Society may be left on the collection plate at the church or sent to E.J. Gummery and Son, 68-70 Ombersley Road, Worcester, WR37EU. Angela Norman passed away on the 14th of February, aged 89 years. A private funeral in accordance with Angela's wishes has already taken place. Barbara Saunders, formerly of Worcester, Sevenstoke, Welland and Ledbury, died on Monday the 26th of February, aged 105 years. At Barbara's request, there will not be a funeral, but a family party to celebrate her life. And there aren't any details, sadly, about that, but there are thanks to all her carers, if you do know the family, I hope you'll be able to get in touch with someone to find out a little more about that. Elsie Smits, known as Floss, passed away on March the 5th, aged 90 years. A funeral service will be held at the Church of St Giles, Breedon, on Monday, March the 25th at 12 noon. Inquiries to E. Hill and Son Funeral Directors, Pershaw, that's WR10 1HZ. Barbara Spode, It doesn't say much other than she was a much-loved teacher, author, poet, artist, world traveller and gardener. Wow, my goodness me. Funeral arrangements are through Bedwardine Funeral Services, and the funeral is to take place at 1 p.m. on Friday the 12th of April. That's all I can tell you from that. That's all the notice there is. And Paul Walters, he was former chairman of St Peter's Parish Council, Worcester. Service is to be followed by the burial at Shrewsbury Cemetery in Longdon Road, Shrewsbury. That's SY37HS. And that's on Wednesday the 27th of March at 1 p.m. All inquiries, please, to Worcester Funeral Service. That's 01905-23499. And all our thoughts and condolences go to the family and friends of those people. Now we will have the telephone numbers that you may find useful. Peter will read those for you now.
Good evening. The Worcester Talking News phone number is 01905 767766. This is an answer phone service. To contact police, fire or ambulance, call 999 or 112. For emergency social care calls to Worcestershire County Council, ring 01905 768 020. For non-urgent calls to Worcestershire County Council, ring 01905 765 765. To contact the Electricity National Grid in emergency, dial 105. In the event of a power cut, ring 0800 917 7953. There is a priority service available for which you can register free of charge. For that service, dial 0800 032 8302. For non-urgent calls to the fire prevention team and for fire safety, ring 0800 032 1155. For non-urgent calls to the police, ring 101. Crime Stoppers, their number is 0800 555 111, and that's anonymous. To contact NHS Direct, ring 111. For domestic abuse helpline is 0800 980 33331. I'll read that again. 0800 980 3331. For the Samaritans, just ring 116 123. Citizens Advice is 0808 278 7891. Age UK can be found on 01905 724 294. Worcester Talking News here in Wilds Lane.
You've done that one.
I've done that one. Worcester Live for the Swan Theatre and Huntingdon Hall box office is 01905 611 427. Malvern Theatre's box office is 01684 892277. Norbury Theatre box office is 01905 770154. Number 8 Theatre in Pershore is 01386 555 488. For Sense Adventures, Walking for Visually Impaired, ring D. Jones on 07920 144 614, or use their website www.senseadventures.co.uk. Worcester Wheels number for transport is 01905 450 654 from 8:30 to 4:30. Link Nurseries at Powick have a gardening session for the visually impaired on Friday mornings. Telephone 01905 831 881 for more information. That's the end of the phone number.
Thank you, Peter.